Do you know anything about some of these new antibody drug conjugates coming along?
Yes, we've been participating in the clinical trials of them. The most promising one is the sacituzumab, which is in phase III trials now, which the payload, it's an antibody against TROP2, which is pretty ubiquitous in triple negative and also very common in ER-positive disease. 80-90% of these cancers have high levels of TROP2, and it's hooked up to seven molecules of SN38, so it delivers huge amounts of SN38 to the cancers. And SN38 is a TOPO1 inhibitor, and it's non-cross-resistant with a lot of the therapies that we have. So even in heavily pretreated triple negative and heavily pretreated ER-positive patients, the sacituzumab has high degree of activity. It does cause myelosuppression, some diarrhea, alopecia, and fatigue, but it's in phase III trials now, and that's the ASCENT trial versus chemotherapy of physician's choice. Very, very promising antibody drug conjugate. The others are two of them against HER2, and it's the DS-8201, which is the ADC against HER2, but the payload is also a TOPO1 inhibitor and very, very active in heavily pretreated HER2-positive patients and also activity in HER2-low, HER2-1 or 2+ patients, just using HER2 as the docking station to deliver the topoisomerase 1 inhibitor to the cancer cell. And then the other one is SID985, again, anti-HER2 antibody, and the payload here is a novel cytotoxic. It's called duocarmycin. It's a minor groove binder, which again is non-cross-resistant with a lot of the other chemotherapies patients have had. And it too has excellent anti-tumor activity in late-line HER2-positive breast cancer. And it is now in randomized trial as well versus treatment of physician's choice. So that's two ADCs in randomized trials right now in the HER2-positive space. And then there's the LIV-1, ladiratuzumab, which is an antibody drug conjugate against LIV-1, which is present in about 70% of triple-negative breast cancers. And it's hooked up to MMAE, auristatin, which is a very powerful antimicrobial agent. It too, it has less data. The ladiratuzumab have less data, but it's looking promising in triple-negative breast cancer patients.
Have you yourself used any of these agents?
I've used them all, yes.
And I'm guessing you've seen useful clinical responses?
With all of them. They're impressive, Neil. They're impressive. And the thing that's important is they're generally tolerable agents so that you're not dose reducing all the time. You can keep the patients on. These are heavily pretreated patients. If you're just giving chemotherapy, you're getting into significant myelosuppression, then you're dose reducing, you're skipping doses, et cetera. The beauty is these are better tolerated. They're more targeted and you're delivering chemotherapy to tumor and less to the host. But they're also, the payloads are novel. They're non-cross resistant with what we have. And they're very nice. They're very valuable.
So, of course, we're familiar. We talked earlier about T-DM1, thrombocytopenia, liver function tests. Brent talks about vedotin, another ADC out there in lymphoma with peripheral neuropathy. What kinds of things do you see with these breast agents?
So with the sacituzumab, myelosuppression is an issue. So some patients just need a dose reduction, but once they have it, you're good. You see diarrhea. You see some patients get some alopecia, and you see fatigue. With the SID985, and I think for all of these ADCs, they're watching for keratitis closely. They're not really seeing, and they do the phase one, and they're pushing it way, way up. They're seeing some keratitis, but then they back off. And so the SID985, we're just not seeing a lot of keratitis, with it. And the 8201, the DS-8201, I don't think we've seen it either, nor with the ladiratuzumab, the LIV-1. I haven't seen it, and I haven't heard about it being reported as a very significant issue. Now, the ladiratuzumab does cause the neuropathy, the peripheral neuropathy. And so that is a cumulative toxicity of ladiratuzumab.